myself. But anyway, well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are with us. You are watching over us. You are blessing us. And we ask you to bless this reading. Bless Crystal as she prepares this message and delivers it to our congregation. And help your Spirit just surround us with your grace, mercy, and wisdom so we can just be enriched by this word, but also enriched by your Spirit. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Philemon 1 through 25. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always give thanks, my God, as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all the holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding for every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who has been my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated you for a little while is that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, a fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in your spirit. Amen.
And that's the whole book. You just read a whole book of the Bible. On my way home from town, as I'm driving, I pass a house with a huge flag that fills the whole window. And it has a foul expletive in the name of the President of the United States. It's rude and disrespectful, to say the least. In some areas of our country, people want to defund the police. Parents and teachers complain that children and youth don't respect them like in the good old days. Authority. It's a tricky concept, and it gets a bad rap. In our culture, we've gotten so disdainful of authority. We're almost in the same situation as at the time of the book of Judges, which ends kind of pathetically. The author says, everyone did as they saw fit. That's how we want to be, choosing for ourselves what's right or good. We each want to find our own truth and not impose it on anyone else or have them tell us what's true. We don't look for wise people or seek counsel from the mature. Pity the people who are in authority over us. They get little respect or honor for their work. True, in a democracy, citizens have a responsibility to hold their leaders accountable. Free speech, even if we're going against the powers that be, is a good check for people in authority. Students and employees and citizens deserve a healthy atmosphere to work and live in and should have proper recourse against abusive teachers or bosses. But people in authority are put there by God for our good. That's Paul in another letter that he wrote. And if we do what's right and follow the rules and the laws, we don't have to fear those in power. Paul's letter to Philemon gives us some good principles for both those in authority over others as well as those who are under authority. In the passage, there are two in authority and two under authority. Three people, but two and two. Paul has spiritual authority over both Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon is over Onesimus, and Philemon and Onesimus are both under Paul's authority. Traditionally, it's been thought that Onesimus, a household slave belonging to Philemon, stole something or otherwise wronged him and ran away, which was a capital offense. Somehow, he met Paul, who converted him to Christianity and became as dear as a son to Paul. Now, Paul is sending him back to Philemon along with this letter. Now, apparently, it's not certain that Onesimus was a runaway. One commentator I read said Philemon probably knew where he was, but nevertheless, we can infer from the letter that there was some breach in the relationship. Paul says Onesimus was useless to Philemon before. Now he is useful to both of them. And Philemon's response is of the utmost importance in Paul's mind. So he goes to work about his work carefully. He has authority over Philemon. He is his spiritual father. He has the knowledge of God and the scriptures. He is sent by Jesus himself to evangelize, teach, and disciple people in the way of Christ. And yet, he decides not to come on strong with an iron fist. Usually at the beginning of a letter, Paul identifies himself as an apostle. This time he doesn't. He says he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He talks to Philemon with deep respect and love. He calls him a partner, makes him equal. Paul loves Philemon and commends him for his love for the saints and his faithfulness to the Lord. Rather than commanding Philemon to do a certain thing, he appeals to Philemon's love and willingness to do the right thing. He appeals to their own relationship. Philemon owes his life to Paul, after all. And he respects Philemon's position of authority over Onesimus. He is free to make his decision. But Paul is clear. As Christians, the right decision is to welcome Onesimus back into the household, not as a mere slave, but as a dear brother. Like Paul, Philemon should use his authority and power over Onesimus gently and with fear and trembling before God. Paul tells Philemon how much he, Paul, loves Onesimus. He has become the slave's father. When he sends him back home, he is sending his own heart. Please, Philemon, receive him as you would receive me. It's reminiscent of Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats. When you've done it to the least of one of these, my brothers or sisters, you've done it to me. Paul pleads Onesimus' case asserting that now that the slave is a brother in Christ, things are different than they used to be. At the foot of the cross, regardless of social status, we are equal. There is no slave or free. And we should note that Onesimus, the name, means useful. And so Paul is playing on words throughout the letter. While Onesimus was useless before as a thief or a runaway, now in Christ he is useful. The most important thing about a person is not what they can do for us, but that they are united with Christ. Paul urges Philemon to receive Onesimus as much more than a slave, as a man and a brother. Those of us who hold positions of authority, whether it's in our home, at work, or in the community, can learn from Paul's manner as well as from what he actually asks Philemon to do. Paul is gentle. He has every right to command Philemon, but he waits for Philemon's decision. Paul loves those under him and appeals to their best nature, sure that Philemon will do what is right and even more than what he's asking. He gives Philemon respect as a fellow worker and as one with freedom to make his own decision on the matter. Philemon, for his part, will have to lay aside any pride in order to forgive Onesimus and embrace him as an equal, a brother in the Lord. He will need some discernment and creativity in following through with Paul's request, since he cannot appear to be rewarding an errant slave, and yet he must not be harsh or cruel, but merciful and compassionate. He must shift his perspective and see Onesimus as a fellow believer with gifts, value, and freedom in Christ. Above all, those in authority need to remember that they, or you, are also under the authority of King Jesus. All of us, whether leaders or followers, answer to God. Our power, if we are in authority, is God-given for the good of the community, not to be wielded selfishly or mercilessly. As for those under authority, Onesimus also needed to walk in humility and courage. If he had, in fact, run away, his life was in Philemon's hands. He had a legal right to punish him, even have him executed if that's what he decided. Onesimus's new life, won for him by Jesus on the cross, will have encouraged him to go back to his master, hopeful of being received, but if not, courageous in the face of punishment. His heart, now softened with the love of Jesus, would not allow him to go back with defiance and rebellion, but with humility, forgiveness, and self-control. In other letters of Paul's, and in some of Peter's too, they give more advice for people under authority. Pray for those over you, especially governors, over your civil life, and pastors and elders who are over your spiritual life. Pray for them that they would use their power for the benefit of their people, that they would rule with hearts like God's, and that they would be protected from evil. Pray that you would see them in a good light, respect them, and give them the honor due the position. Pray for them, because their work is hard and their responsibility great. And if they succeed, you will too. As for workers under an employer or master, work hard, whether the employer is good or bad. Work as unto the Lord and not unto people. The God who sees everything will be pleased with your work and reward you. In this world we live in, we need human authority. We need leaders and bosses and parents and pastors and governors. They play an important role in keeping peace and security. But those relationships can be fragile and easily broken if power is used selfishly, harshly, or with evil intent. Or if those under authority refuse to be led or disrespect or rebel against those over them. Of course, we're all human and will fail in these ways at some time or another. And so we need the power of reconciliation. Reconciliation is hard. Repairing a relationship when trust is broken or pain has been inflicted is hard. Pride keeps us from approaching or being approachable. If we're the one who's wronged, we want justice. We want to see the other person suffer for what they did, or make restitution, or admit they were wrong. If we're the one who did wrong, we have to put aside our shame and embarrassment, our pride, to admit we were wrong and seek forgiveness and a renewed relationship. Pride gets in the way of reconciliation. Philemon presumably had a right to be angry and to mete out punishment to his slave. He would have to step away from his position of authority to see Onesimus in a new light as an equal, a brother in Christ. And that is exactly what Paul was asking him to do. There would be no place for pride if their relationship was to be restored and friendship established. Fear also gets in the way of reconciliation. If we were hurt by someone we trusted, we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable to that pain again. We want to put up walls, keep our distance. When we lack love and compassion, we cannot be reconciled. When we lack spiritual maturity, reconciliation is hindered. We must grow up, examine ourselves, humble ourselves, confess and be forgiven, forgive others. None of this is easy. But followers of Christ have the promise of transformation. We're a new creation, born again, with a new heart and spirit within. As we walk with him, he not only transforms individuals, but our relationships with each other as well. Paul identified with Onesimus. He called him his son, said he was his very heart, and he promised to pay back anything Onesimus owed Philemon. He would pay it in full. What he really wanted was to keep Onesimus with him, to be his helper so that Paul could have the comfort of having his dear friend near. But for the sake of his relationship with Philemon, as well as Philemon's with Onesimus, he sent him away and waited to see what would happen. Did not God do the same when he sent his son Jesus to us? It was a sacrifice to let him go. He would have rather had him stay with him. But for the sake of God's relationship with us and ours with each other, he sent Jesus to earth to identify with sinful humans, to pay the debt they owed God. He laid down his authority, which was absolute, gave up his rights, and allowed us to freely choose to follow him or not. He appealed to our love, to our desire for relationship with God, hopeful of receiving a warm welcome. Instead, we misunderstood and mistreated him and sent him to the cross, which in God's plan was the very debt we owed, now paid in full by Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in our relationships with others, we, like Paul, like Jesus, can appeal to their love and faithfulness, expecting forgiveness and welcome. With Jesus' own life coursing through us, we can identify with them in their sin and redemption. We can pay the debt they incurred by forgiving them. We don't know what happened to Philemon and Onesimus. There's no follow-up. We're left hanging. which is what Jesus often does, doesn't he? He tells a story, and we don't know quite how it ends. What happened to the people? Where'd they go? What did they do? What did they decide? It leaves it open for us to ponder and to become a part of the story. What if it were me? What if I were Philemon, receiving this letter from my beloved mentor and teacher, Paul? What if I were confronted with Onesimus, a useless slave, and now have to look at him in a completely different light? Decide how to incorporate him back into the household as a servant, a son, a worker, or even a leader in the church? It's interesting to note that some years later, there was a bishop in Ephesus named Onesimus, who is responsible for preserving many of Paul's letters. There's no way of knowing if it was the same man, the slave become bishop. But it's intriguing to think about. And if we decide that, yes, this was the same man, then we can imagine a beautiful reconciliation happened between Philemon and Onesimus. And it came about with Paul's help. His gentle, respectful, diplomatic, yet firm request tipped the scales, not only for Onesimus, but for Philemon as well. Because we cannot harbor resentment and vengeful thoughts for long without doing damage to ourselves. Paul stood in the gap between the two men, sacrificing his own finances and welfare for the sake of their relationship. See how he imitates Christ again. Jesus also stood in the gap, offering himself with one arm stretched out to God and the other stretched out to human beings in order to reconcile one to the other. Dear friends, if you have a strained or spoiled or broken relationship within this congregation, I urge you to be reconciled as strenuously as Paul urged Philemon with Onesimus. Whether it's a matter of being under authority or in authority or just between equals, pray to God for a soft heart toward God and toward the one you're angry with. Pray for that person, for their needs, and for you to see them through God's eyes with mercy and compassion. Ask him to show you the truth about them, that they are deeply loved by him. Practice seeing the good in them and being thankful for them, and help each other. When you know of people in a quarrel, do the work of reconciliation, bringing them together under God, identifying with them as Paul identified with Onesimus. Reconciliation is one of the most important priorities of any Christian body, including this congregation. This is our witness in the community. They all know we are Christians by our love. I know I shouldn't say this, but in my opinion, it's a hokey, outdated song, but it's so true. We have good news of God's love for people who need him. But we undo the message and do our beloved Savior a disservice when we allow quarrels to go on, offenses, especially petty ones, to build up, resentments to fester among ourselves. Paul stood in the gap between Philemon and Onesimus. Jesus stands in the gap between sinners and God. The church stands in the same gap today. That gap is bridged by forgiveness and love. If our congregation is not marked by those things, then we are useless servants. Let us determine now, each one in our own hearts and together as one body, to follow Christ's example and allow him to transform our relationships by his reconciling love. Amen.